Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be open to receive all that leads to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The scripture lesson today is from Genesis 15, 1-6, and can be found on page 20, is that 20 or 26? 20 of your pew Bible. I have my glasses with me. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. The next scripture lesson is from Luke 3, verse 8, page 1593 in your pew Bibles. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say yourselves, we have Abram as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham.
It is good to be protected, isn't it? And Christopher, wherever Christopher went, they are very, he's quite talented. It is incredibly good to be back here with Abundant Life. I am so excited to be here today. Since the last time I've been with you, as Henry stated, I have graduated. I am no longer a seminarian, but I am a ministerial candidate. And that is exciting to me. And I am in the process of looking at ordination. So as soon as that comes through, you guys will definitely be notified, because I truly want as many of you to attend that as well, because you have been such an incredible part of this journey for me. It is true that you are very special to me. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, but there are congregations that we connect even more deeply, and you guys are one of those for me, and I thank you for that. I feel blessed by you. One of the things that has been a positive for me since graduating is I've had a little extra time now. And one of the things I love to do is to go camping. So one of the things when I'm camping is I love to look at the stars at night. So have you ever been anywhere, somewhere away from our 24/7 glow of the lights in our area? You know, a place where electricity is dimmed, and once your eyes adjust to the darkness, that you find that you can see the world around you, and pretty clearly at that. Some place that when you look up at the night sky that is bright with little jewels of light, with thousands or millions of stars shining through the universe to reach you at that very moment. There is a place in Pennsylvania, it's called Cherry Springs State Park. It is just about 4 hours away from here. It's in the north central part of the state. And it has so little light pollution that it is considered to have some of the darkest night skies on the East Coast. And I read that it is so clear that the Milky Way actually casts a shadow in the park. And that is a place that I want to see. It's not that far, and I hope that's someplace I get to go soon. It is estimated that our galaxy alone might contain as many as 100 billion stars. I think what that must look like. You know, when we see it here, it's dimmed because of the light. But out there, what that must be like. And I have gotten a taste of that in the woods of Pennsylvania or the mountains of the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. And even to a lesser degree here, not that far away, there are places that I camp. And so once that campfire dies down, and talk among the campers gathered around it has dwindled into whispers, I look up into that night sky, and I see all those uncountable stars. And I am in awe of God's creativity, and I feel tiny in the scope of the universe. It's like that. That's, whoever chose that picture, spot on. Have you ever experienced something like that, where you have looked up into the night sky and been overcome with emotion at the sight of those stars in the sky and felt the power and the presence of God? If you have, you know that's a wow moment. And I imagine that as God and Abram are having this discussion that we just heard, I picture God taking on a fatherly stance. I see him walking up with Abram, putting his arm around him, and gently saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I will shield you from danger. I will give you a great reward. You will have a child. You will have many descendants, and your name will live on." And Abram asked, "How many descendants?" And God said, "Come outside. Look at the sky. Try to count the stars." And so Abram did. 1, 2, 3, 1,045, 1,046, 1,047. Look at the sky, Abram, and try to count the stars. 15,377, 15,378, 479,647. Look at the sky, Abram, and try to count the stars. 1,045, 1,046, 234,000, 14,064. Look at the sky and try to count the stars. 33,000,000,000,000, 44,000,000,000,000, 100,000,000,000,000. As Abram looked up, did he too feel that sense of God's power, of God's creativity, and God's presence? And as he tried to count those stars that cannot be counted, did Abram feel a bit giddy? The God of creation, of all that is seen and unseen, of the universe and beyond? God was telling him that he would have descendants that number those countless stars in the sky. He was a man well advanced in age, with a wife well past her own childbearing years. So how in the world could he have one child, let alone descendants that number the stars in the sky? Yet we're told Abram believed the Lord. And here in our scripture text, we see that even though he doesn't understand how God's promise will be fulfilled, Abram listens to God and chooses to trust God. God tells him that Abram has God's protection and provision. He is God is his shield, And this promise draws a confession out of Abraham. He admits to God his doubts about how God will carry out that promise. He calls God on the fact that he doesn't have a child with Sarai right now, and that he's had to appoint a slave of his own as an heir. Now, we didn't read it in today's text, but just a few chapters before this, in chapter 13, if we look at verses 14 through 18, God told Abraham that his offspring would be as many as the dust of the earth. And here we hear that God says they will number the stars in the sky. And an interesting bit of trivia that I discovered this week is that for all our technology, science has determined that the stars by far outnumber the grains of sand on the earth. So can you imagine trying to count the sand, the dust of the earth, let alone the stars in the sky? Now take that and apply it to this promise. Abram will have more descendants than the grains of sand under our feet and more than the stars above our heads. It is incomprehensible. Especially when we know that Abram and Sarai are advanced in years and far beyond that, let's get married and have a whole passel of kids stage in their life. Did you ever wonder how in the world Abraham trusted God to fulfill this promise? I did. So let's really look at this. In the previous scripture that we didn't read, Abram has been told by God to leave his home and go to a place that God will reveal at a later date, and that he will be the father of a great nation. And through Abram, God will bless other nations. And then we get to chapter 13, where God promises Abram his offspring will number the dust of the earth, and God will give Abram's offspring a special land. And that's a whole lot of people to come from a man who is way past starting a family. And to put it in perspective, I like how Pastor Nathan Busker, who I work with over at Ponds, how he put it. He said, "It's like someone sending out baby announcements when there is no baby. Sarah isn't even pregnant." Now, there's a lot of talk about offspring and nations and numerous descendants, but there isn't even one child yet. So Abram replied to God's greeting, "What are you going to give me? You told me I'd be a father, and not just any father, but a father of a great nation. And yet, even while I am trusting in your promise, I'm helping you to fulfill that promise by naming my servant as my heir." It almost appears to be a broken promise, doesn't it? God has promised, but God's promises look empty in the face of barrenness and hopelessness. Abraham still believes in the promise, even if he must fulfill it himself through a slave. But back outside, with God pointing that night sky out to him, Abraham believes the Lord. He considers God trustworthy. And despite all evidence to the contrary, Abram decides to trust God. And that is what God credits Abram as righteousness. It is his faith, his trust in God to fulfill this promise, even though there seems no way to fulfill it. Faithfulness is the big deal to God. And I've called this promise of God's an astonishing promise for more than one reason. It is amazing, astounding, wonderful, miraculous, staggering, stunning, and extraordinary. And we can see its impressiveness by the fact that God did indeed give Abram a legitimate son to become an heir. We find that out later on in Scripture. And as we continue to read through Scripture, we do see how the birth of Isaac leads to the 12 tribes of Israel and to the nation of the people of God. But what is even more astonishing to me is that you and I are a piece of this promise. We are a piece of an answered promise. We are numbered within those countless descendants of Abraham. God's great love for humanity, proven in Jesus Christ, is evidenced in us. God's love was demonstrated when a star in the sky marked the birth of a Savior for the world and established that when Jesus obediently and willingly died on the cross for you and for me. God's love was enacted when death was defeated and Christ rose from the grave. And today, God's love is made real in us, in the lives of us as individuals, as families, and as a community. God called Abram into a relationship all those years ago, and that one relationship has blossomed into one that not only has blessed Abram, but eventually has blessed the whole world. God called Abram into relationship, made an astonishing promise, and asked Abraham to respond to that call in faith and trust. And God calls each of us in that same way too. How has God asked you to respond in faith and trust to his promise? God promised Abram something that must have been incredibly difficult to believe. Yet Abram trusts that God will deliver on the promise in God's time, not his own. Do you trust that God will deliver on God's promise to you? In those moments when it seems impossible, will you remain faithful? God's call to Abram is a call for him to walk deeper in faith and trust with God. And that increases his fellowship with God. This week, I encourage you to take a walk. Might be a physical one, but maybe it's one with your imagination. Walk with God. Picture God's arm around you. And consider your own relationship with God. Ponder the ways that you have responded to God's love and call upon your life with faith and trust. And examine times when you've missed the mark. Abram trusted God. God loved him and God blessed him. The love of God is infinitely strong and tender and full of blessing. So, beloved, look at the sky and try to count the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4. Beloved, do not be afraid. God loves us. So keep counting. Would you pray with me? Loving God, promise maker, you promised Abram descendants as many as the stars, and here we are. Thank you for keeping your promise. You promised to send your Spirit to be with us after Jesus was gone, and your Spirit is here with us always. Thank you for keeping your promise. What promises do we make? We promise to follow you, to bring your kingdom here and now. We haven't managed to keep that one yet, but we're working on it. We promise to love our neighbors, to care for the poor and the oppressed, and for those who need our help. We haven't managed to keep that one yet, but we'll keep trying. Lord, we need more time. Time to speak up and to speak out. Time to share what we have. Time to give of ourselves. And time to pay attention to your Spirit. Lord, we promise to try harder, to be better, to do more. Give us time and encourage us through your Spirit. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. Would you stand with me in response and affirm our faith found in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.